past few weeks, we have looked at what it means to have our identity in Christ. Hey, JV, can you turn me down just a little bit? I'm seeing some feedback. All right. We have looked at what it means for our identity to be found in Christ. 2 weeks ago, we looked at that in relation to adoption, an adoption into the family of God. And the illustration that I used was that of a Roman adoption, because the passage we looked at was found in the book of Romans. Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and they would have had an understanding of an adoption in a different sense than what we would have had. And so they would have seen that with the process of legally being adopted, it would have been the case that the person being adopted, their life beforehand was basically erased. All debt, all inheritance for that old life was erased, and they inherited a new life, being adopted into a new family. And so we looked at what it meant to be spiritually part of the family of God and to be able to call Daddy, Daddy, that intimate relationship with God the Father. And last week we looked at what it meant for our citizenship to be in heaven, on how all of our other citizenships that we have here on this earth, all our other levels of affiliation to whatever it may be, become second-class citizenships based towards this one that is greater and more glorious, and that is our citizenship in heaven. And so this morning, we're going to look at what it means to be an image bearer. And so as the introduction says this, as we grow and mature, we tend to act like, look like, and reflect our earthly parents. As Christians, the same is true. As we grow in grace, are sanctified by the Spirit, and transformed by the Father, we begin to reflect Him to the world. And so this morning, I'd like to look at what it means to be an image bearer. I want to look at who are image bearers and how that leads us as believers to treat others, what has happened to us as image bearers based on the fall and the entering of sin, who is the greatest and truest image of God, and how the image is being restored in us. And the key scripture that we're going to look at this morning is Genesis 1, 26 to 27. It reads this, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all of the earth and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And so one thing I want to highlight again here with this last section of the scripture we looked at is that when there is a repetition within Scripture, when there's a word repeated doubly or the same idea is repeated back to back within very close proximity, there is added significance to what is being communicated there. There is another level of importance that is coming with what is being said. And so here we see that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. It just reversed the way it was said, but it was repeating back and forth there that man is created in the image of God. And that highlights a difference between humans being created and the rest of creation. Because within this, it is showing that God has created humanity in his own image. And we'll get towards that in a little bit here. But I want to reflect back on one of the my opening introduction, where it says that we tend to, as we grow, We tend to mature. As we grow mature, we tend to look, act, and ultimately reflect our earthly parents. Now, this isn't the case in every situation. There are many things that are different between my parents and I, but there are character traits, ways I respond, different sayings that I have that remind me of my parents. And I've been in situations at times where I would say something or do something, and in that moment, I would just be like, whoa, that was my dad right there. That was definitely my father. Or someone says, you look just like your mother. You know, I see where you get all your good looks. Time and time again, there's been times in my life where I have acted or responded or even at times looked in the mirror and been like, whoa, that's, you know, I see that resemblance. I see that reflection of my parents coming through in different moments and different aspects and traits. Even though there is many differences between us, there are those times where it just uncannily speaks to me that I'm definitely my parents' child. Shar, in many ways, is a reflection of her mom on many, many of her character traits. And I love her for that. I love her mom. I have a great mother-in-law. But through that, there's one of them that comes to mind is when Shar tells a story that is very funny to her, and she wants you to really enjoy the humor of that story. It could be something that we just don't understand for a little while, because as she starts telling the story, she starts laughing so hard at the punchline or at the point of the story that, you know, it is really laughing. And every time she goes to say it, she's laughing so hard it's incomprehensible. We can't understand. So we're laughing, not because we understand what she's trying to communicate, but we're laughing at the fact that she's laughing so hard at what she's trying to communicate. And so, you know, there's been times where 5 minutes later we finally understand the whole story, you know, because laughter has died down. And I do have video proof of it. And it is an awesome character trait that she has of her mother. And so there's times where we tend to reflect the image of our parents. We tend to reflect back some character traits, some actions, even sometimes words and sentences that our parents use all the time. And so have you ever had an experience like that? I've seen some nods, yes, already. Had experiences where you yourself have noticed, like, that was totally my parents. Now, for those of you who are parents here, I've seen this numerous times where you go to discipline your child, and then all of a sudden reflect me like, whoa, that's just how my parents did it. I'm turning into my parents. I've heard that time again. I've seen it on television and whatnot. But you see that, and then have you ever had also where someone's come up and mentioned to you that you act just like your parents? You know, they might have known your parents for years and come back, and you leave for a while and come back and act a certain way, and all of a sudden they're like, you're a spitting image. Maybe visually, maybe the way you act or hold yourself or even the things you say and do could be a spitting image of your parents. And that same thing is true with our spiritual image. Being adopted into the family of God, we as believers are now have that image of the Father on us that we are beginning to continue to reflect, and it should be one that reflects his actions, his responses, his looks, and his attitudes. So as humans, we tend to reflect that which means most to us. During things or people that we spend our time with, we tend to reflect those values and value systems here in the world. And so if I was to take a person out of one social context and planted them into another distinctly different social context, if that person that I took out and put in wanted to belong, to that group of people, wanted their identity to be found with them and to be liked and loved within that group, they would begin to reflect the looks and the actions and the thought patterns and attitudes of that group. And so we tend to reflect that in which we are around. We tend to reflect that in which we want to find value in. And so we've looked at, over the past couple of weeks, where our identity is not found in what sports we're good at, in our talents and our abilities, in how much money we make, in a situation that is happening now or has happened to us as a child, in our family that we currently belong to, in our citizenship to this country. We are not found as our identity is not found in those. It is found as believers ultimately in Christ. And the value of our identity isn't found in us. It is found in Him. It is found in what He has done for us by sacrificially loving us so much that He would die on the cross for us. And so we tend to reflect the things that we're around. And as an illustration for this, when Char and I were at Kingswood, we had the opportunity to be housed with numerous people from around the United States and from around Canada and even some from around the world. And we had the opportunity to be there. And so Char, for example, had lived in Michigan and had lived in Ohio, but she lived in an apartment with girls from North Carolina, and she was in Canada and eventually married a Canadian. And so with all those four different influences for her speech, she could say one sentence, and within that sentence you could pick out the differences between her Ohioan accent, her Michigan accent, her North Carolinian accent that she picked up from the girls, and her Canadian accent, with all of those, because it was a reflection of that which she was around. And I've seen that also with myself. There'll be times where I'm talking to someone who has a British accent, and I find myself involuntarily at times speaking in a British accent, albeit very badly, because I cannot do accents at all. But I find myself involuntarily doing that and saying things like that. My roommate in college, he was from Maryland. And my best friend also attended college with me. And so one weekend in my freshman year, we took my roommate, Nate, and my best friend, Jacob. We went back down to Hillsborough, the little town that I'm from in Albert County. And when you say Albert County, where I'm from, that basically means redneck. And that is, you know, kind of the area where I'm from. I'm on the main street, though. I'm not in the woods. You know, I grew up on the main street. You know, dirt road was only, you know, 20 miles away. Well, no, 2 miles away. But so we took my roommate down, and he was coming, and he spent the night down there. And one thing that he noticed right away is, because he was around us for, you know, my best friend Jacob, he was around him for at least 4 months beforehand, and around me for about a month, because I came in January. And throughout all this time, you know, he's talked with us, you know, we've really had lengthy conversations during this time. And he came down with us down to Hillsborough, and immediately Jacob's and mine, our accent began to change, tended to reflect that of the area that we were in. It kind of got thicker and a little more like the rural area that we were in. And Char's nodding her head right now because she completely knows how it is. My dad, I love him. He has that accent, and he can leave and still has that accent. You can tell that where he's from based on his language that he speaks. And so my roommate Nate was just pointed that out, that he couldn't believe that we drove an hour away from school into our little community, and immediately Jacob and I started talking completely differently, and Jacob and I never noticed. You know, we've been around each other all the time, different places here and there, but we tended to reflect that on which we were around. And so It's very interesting to see the fact that even with language, even with actions and attitudes, that we tend to reflect a lot, like the moon. Like if you think of the moon, you know, it reflects the light of the sun. You know, so the light doesn't originate from it, but it reflects that light. And we, at times, as humans, tend to reflect some of the thoughts and the ideas and the patterns and the actions and the attitudes and the speech of those whom we are around. And the same is true with our spiritual image. So as believers, we should be reflecting Christ more and more, clearer and clearer. But sometimes we are poor reflections of Christ because we don't spend enough time with Him in prayer and in His Word. You know, we mentioned that it's a relationship with God. It's like that adoption into His family. It's a daddy-daddy relationship. That is a close and an intimate relationship is what that's highlighting. And so through that and through having that relationship and spending the time with Him in prayer, which is talking to God, it could be giving Him a request, but it's also just being in communion with Him. He knows how you feel. You know, if you're mad, you can be mad and tell Him. If you're happy, you can be happy and tell Him. Just be in communication with Him. His Word is what He's revealed to us on who He is and His character, and it's ultimately revealed within Christ and how Christ has moved and acted while He was here, and we can see that in the Gospels. But sometimes we give a poor reflection, and our reflection is then like a dim and a dirty mirror when we don't give a good reflection of Christ within the times where we should be responding in a situation with a Christ-like attitude, with a Christ-like action or word, but we respond with our words or the words of those who are around us and affect us. I want to brightly reflect Christ. I want us as a body to brightly reflect who Christ is to this world that's around us. You know, as the moon, when it's full, reflects the light of the sun, so too I want to reflect the love of Christ, His mercy, His compassion, His holiness, and His justice. I want us to reflect His values and be transformed into His likeness continually, day by day, moment by moment, situation by situation. In other words, I want to, and I want us, to bear His image, His true, full, bright image. So let us look at Genesis 1, 26-27 as the origins of this image bearing. Let's read it again. It says this: Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. The first book of the Bible sets the stage for everything that is going to come. It shows that we, as humans, were created in the image of God. And in that state, God said that it was very good. But we see shortly after that, within the next few chapters, that the situation doesn't remain the same. That because of a choice of Adam to disobey the word of God, we see sin enters the stage, and we go from being image bearers of God to being cracked and broken image bearers. And Adam was the first cracked image bearer. He was no longer perfect as God had created him. He had been broken through that act. And because of that, we are now cracked image bearers. We do not reflect the image of God as we once did. We've been broken because of sin. Nonetheless, we are still image bearers of God. So back to the analogy of the moon. It's likened to the moon just after the new moon cycle. You know, when you see that little sliver of light, you know, it's not reflecting the fullness of the character, of the actions of God. But there are moments and times, even for a person who's far away, that would seem to reflect back that image of God, you know, through that. One moment of kindness, one little instance of selflessness, you know, would reflect back and point towards the fact that we do have a God and a Creator who is greater than all. And because of this sinful state, this cracked and sinful state, we require punishment. So we in Adam and in our own lives have broken the laws of God. Adam represents us as the first cracked image, and in him we are lost and broken. We needed a new representative. We needed to be made new, to be restored, to be purified. And this is what starts the grand narrative of Scripture. We see that at that point, God put into motion a plan for redemption. And throughout all of the Old Testament, you see him setting the stage moment by moment, set by set, story by story, life by life. You see him setting the stage, setting the platform for that ultimate climax in the story, which is when God in Christ would step down from heaven and come into his creation to provide an opportunity for redemption. And this wasn't anything. We didn't deserve any of this. He didn't do any of this because we required this, because we deserved it. But he did it because of his love and his mercy for those who bear his image. And it ultimately led to Christ, God incarnate, stepping down into creation. And while bearing the true image of the invisible God, he led a sinless life, and he sacrificed himself for us in love. Romans 5:8-1 reads this: "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So we see that through all of this, through this scripture that we just read, that we are continuing through suffering to producing endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. But that Christ ultimately suffered for us, for this hope that we have. That he chose to die for us while we were weak and broken and cracked images of God. He came as the perfect and fully true image and shed his blood for us so that we may be back in a right relationship with God. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the truest and fullest image. Colossians 1:15-23 reads this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we see here in this scripture that the first thing it highlights is that Christ is the image of the invisible God, that he is the truest and fullest representation of who God is. We see through all of the Old Testament, time and time again, you see how God has related with his people. You see how he's responded through mercy, through love, through justice and correction and rebuking his people to bring them back to himself. But ultimately, we see through Christ, he is the fullest and true representation of who God is on his character. Because as he stepped down and walked the earth and related with people and actions and healed people and rebuked people and taught and loved, we fully see Christ, his mercy, his wisdom, showing us what it means to be fully human by reflecting those character traits. And he ultimately showed us who he is by the extent of his sacrificial love, providing an opportunity to restore our relationship with God. The climax of the Imago Dei, or the image of God, can be found here in Christ. Christ also reflects to us what it means to be truly human, because he was not a cracked or broken image as we have inherited from Adam. He was a full representation of what it means to bear the image of God, a full representation of what it is of God's character and what he's bestowed upon us as his creation. So like Adam, Jesus was made in the image of God, yet Jesus was faultless and without sin. Hebrews 4:15. He is the way for salvation. John 14:6. And he leads the way to show us what it means to be truly human in Mark 8:10. Jesus is the ultimate and the perfect representation of the image of God in 2 Corinthians 4. He truly exemplified godliness and humanness. So, what does it mean to live as an image bearer? So, as believers, we're to put off the cracked and broken image, that of Adam, that was once ours. We're to put on the new image, the one that is fashioned after Christ. Colossians 3:9-10 reads this. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So being a part of the family of God, having our citizenship found in heaven, bearing the image of God fully, unbroken, uncracked, means that we do not have to walk in the ways that were once ours, in ways of lying and of deceit and of selfishness and of impurity and of brokenness. But through Christ, we have the opportunity to be restored. And through the indwelling of the Spirit, it continues to sanctify us, to make us holy, to make us new. We have the opportunity to, day by day, situation by situation, continue to reflect Christ more and more, brighter and brighter. The writer of Hebrews tells us to spur each other on to righteousness. As image bearers, we are to hold each other up to accountability, to keep our brothers and sisters in Christ on the narrow path, and that we are producing Christ-honoring fruit. So what difference would it make if our behavior, if our actions, if our responses, if when we come across someone who is rude, hard to get along with, self-obsessed, or even has the nerve to disagree with us, if we saw them as God's image bearer? They may be in need of reconciliation, of restoration, or of healing, but they do bear the image of God nonetheless. So that's a practical thing. But when we are out in the world, when we have someone cut us off in traffic, when situations happen, are we going to respond to them as just some other Joe? Or are we going to respond to them as people who bear the image of God, cracked and broken, but still bear the image of God? The image that is a dynamic one, one that is based on his character and his actions, and not necessarily on just a static imprint, but one that is dynamic and active. What does it look like to reflect God's nature and character in our responses? Would we extend grace over judgment? Ephesians 2. Would we be quick to listen and slow to speak? James 1:19. Would we offer a hand of help rather than words of advice? Matthew 25:34. Would we share a message of hope instead of shame? Hebrews 6. And would we remember what we were before he saved us? Titus 3:3. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Titus 3. So as image bearers, let us seek for continual growth. Let us seek to do all we can to be in communion with God, to be forged into a person who bears the image of God much more clearly, that the broken and cracked and dirty image has been removed from us and we have received a new, clear, bright image. Let us look to the climax of the Imago Dei, the image of God, Christ, who is the true image of the invisible God, and the best representation on what it means to be fully human. Let us leave here today and seek to draw close to God. Seek that in our responses and our attitudes and our actions, as we relate and commune with people around, that it would be one that when people see us and our actions, they see God's love, God's mercy, God's justice and compassion showing through us, that we would be bright reflections of who God is to this world that's around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning you've given to us, this time where we can look into your word, where we can see ultimately where our identity comes from, and see that it is not found in situations or things or positions or talents or abilities here, but that our identity ultimately is found within you, within what you've done for us, and the fact that you have created us after your own image. God, we praise you for your word that you have given to us, for the opportunity to know you as you have revealed. And I pray, Father, that as we go, that your Spirit would continue to renew us each day, and that we would be drawn into a relationship and a deeper relationship with you, moment by moment, situation by situation, that you would be the one that guides our heart and our actions. God, we love you and praise you in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.